What's happened? Is your God gone on a trip, or is he in the bathroom, or is he occupied? The living says, is he on the toilet? And it's wonderful to see that Elijah had such confidence in what his God was going to do. And at sunset, he gives a little prayer. He says, oh, Father God, hear my prayer. And he pours water over this altar. It even mentions how many gallons of water is poured over this altar.
Measures and measures of water.
God's fire just comes down and licks everything up. It is wonderful. I want to see that someday.
Well, I believe we're going to have videos in heaven. Maybe we'll have instant recall of all those stories. Right. But that's one I want to see. I call that the Baal barbecue.
Oh, boy, that
together.
Sure is. And then the people said, oh, Elijah, we will follow you. We will follow you. The people that were there realized the sin that they had committed. And so they took 850 prophets, false prophets, down to the Kidron and murdered them. And this is exactly what God wanted, because they were defiling Israel. And so then we see in 1 Kings 19:1 through 8 that Ahab tells Jezebel what Elijah had done.
And it was serious. He gave her a report about the murder of the prophets and the murder of her country club membership. I just have to throw that in. But in 1 Kings 19, we have this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods, small g by the way,
mm-hmm.
so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And what she was doing was putting a 24-hour contract on his head.
That's right.
She was saying, you're dead meat. We're coming after you. You're going to die just like the prophets died that you killed with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And he was afraid and rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Now, you might say a spirit of death was tormenting him. He was saying, I want to die. I just as well die.
Mm-hmm.
But he went into the wilderness a day's journey and came and sat down under a juniper tree, requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. In other words, I've had it. I'm out of here.
That's right. Well, he had a lot on his table that day before, Darren. I'll tell you, to actually confront a king, to actually confront 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah, to go through all that he went through, the slaughtering of the oxen, the putting them on the altar, and praying, that takes energy. I know in our ministry, some people think, well, what do they do all day? Well, even what we do takes a lot of energy, and it can be exhausting.
Well, you know, when you have a spiritual confrontation with all those evil spirits, there's going to be defilement coming against
that's
you.
That's right. That's
and when we teach people to cleanse themselves spiritually, mentally, physically with the blood of Jesus, we're very serious about that. Here this prophet had come against tremendous defilement and all this conflict with the evil spirit world. It takes its toll.
It does.
You need then to have some time of refreshment. But we go on and read in verse 5, he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water, so he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time, touched him, and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose, ate, and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, mountain of God.
The mountain of God.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is. And it's really exciting to see the ministry of angels. And I'll tell you, until I married you, I didn't realize the ministry of angels was so important for us.
Are you saying
they
I'm
are
an angel,
our servants.
Barbara?
They are. You are an angel. And an angel came and didn't minister to him spiritually right now. He ministered physical food to this prophet because he knew he needed this in his body. We need that physical as well as the spiritual.
You know, I believe the first time he ate and drank, that was for the physical needs of the body.
I agree.
When he did it a second time, that's when he had strength to go 40 days.
Boy, 40 days.
And this was a type of communion, but here we have the convergence, Barbara, that I love. I love stories like this because we have the convergence of the spirit world and the natural world. The spirit world is evidencing these things that are around us, I believe, all the time. And you know, what would it be like if God fed us in his last days that same way that he fed the prophet?
I think it would be
he
exciting.
Could do it, couldn't he?
Wonderful, yes. Amen. I agree.
Let's don't worry about our groceries in the end times. God can bring hot bread on hot stones, and I'll bet you it was the best bread he ever ate.
That's right. So Elijah met the Lord here at Mount Horeb, and it's wonderful to see that God reassured him during this time. Elijah was down, and some of you are down, and God is going to come to you and reassure you and give you peace regarding your situation. He always does. He is really sensitive about what you're going through. And here Elijah was down, and he wanted to see the Lord in the whirlwind that came, in the earthquake, in the winds, in the lightning and the thunder. But God wasn't in any of those, Darren. He was in a still, small voice.
You know, I believe that we all, when we get in a corner, we want to see something. We want to say, oh, God, just show me. Give me some confirmation here. Give me a manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when he was there, what he heard was a still, small voice of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And as you walk with the Lord, you get deeper and deeper into Scripture. That small voice will edify you. It will build you up. It will be like food to you.
That's right.
And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He says that in the book of Matthew.
Yes.
Well, here this prophet was really being fed by the words of the mouth of God.
Yes, I believe when we're immature, we love to see the big signs and wonders. We love to see the great signs in the skies and all of this. But Jesus himself spoke of those are what the Gentiles look for. But as you mature in the Lord and as you grow in him, you will recognize that still small voice, and that's so important for you to hear God in that way. Well, God reassured him by telling him that he needed to go and anoint Jehu as king. He was going to be a wonderful king, and he was. He was a mighty king. And also that there were 7,000 more that had not bowed to Baal. Darren, he reassured Elijah he was not the only one. There were 7,000 more that
beside the 100.
That's right. Beside the 100 men that had hidden in the cave. Praise the Lord.
But sometimes it does feel very lonely when you're in a spiritual battle and all you can see, it seems like, is a box canyon. You're down in this box and there are just walls going up and all you can see is straight up. You can't see ahead of you any answers, but God is there.
He is there
no matter how bad it looks.
Praise God. So we know here that he did as the Lord told him and instructed him to do. And he went eventually to Jehu and anointed him king over Israel. And he knew at that point, I believe Elijah knew, King Ahab's days were numbered. And they truly were. And back home in Samaria, King Ahab had gone through several situations where he had not gotten his way. And this king was very selfish, and he was very spoiled. And he wanted then, he turned to the vineyard of Naboth right close to the temple. He says, well, if I can't have this other thing over here, I want this vineyard. And he offered Naboth, the precious man, money for his vineyard. But Naboth, who was a very godly man, said, the Lord forbid me that I should give you the inheritance of my father. And this is in 1 Kings 21, 1 through 16. So Ahab went into his house, sullen and vexed, the word says. And I looked up vexed, and it's 2198 in the Strong's Concordance, and it means boiling. And the essential idea is foaming at the mouth. King Ahab was livid. He wanted this vineyard and under any conditions, and he was really boiling mad when he went, and Jezebel noticed this. And she came in, and she says, well, Ahab, why are you upset?
Now, he was so driven by a spirit. And I want to say to you, folks, you can't reason with the spirit.
That's right.
And this spirit, he was no longer in control of his faculties. The spirit had taken over, and I'm going to say he was demon-possessed.
Yes.
I believe the demons were driving him and driving Jezebel. They'd given in so much.
That's right. He'd compromised so much.
So much that now he's no longer in control. The spirit now is in control. And, folks, that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to set up a spiritual stronghold in your life to where you've given in, you've capitulated too many times, you've turned your will over to him, and all of a sudden you don't have a will in the matter anymore. You don't have a choice in the matter. The devil is driving, and you're in the back seat.
That's right.
And he is eating your lunch in every way.
So here comes this Jezebel spirit into the room. He's sullen. He's very moody man. And she says, how is it that your spirit is so sullen that you're not eating food? And when he told Jezebel the reason for his depression, she said, aren't you the king? Aren't you the one that's reigning over Israel here? Don't you have the authority to take anything you want? You're the king, Ahab. I mean, come on, listen up, you know, chill out. Let's go get this thing. She promised that he would have the vineyard of Naboth.
She really decreed.
Yes.
I will give it to you.
That's right. And So in this process here, she walked all, and this is the Jezebel spirit. We're going to find out different characteristics of the Jezebel spirit. But here she does. She makes out a plan here.
And that plan involved her using his letterhead, we would say today. Well, she went in his office, took his letterhead, took his signature stamp. Well, here's the way it reads in 1 Kings 21, verse 8. So she wrote letters.